Hey, good morning. Welcome again. My name is Kyle Thompson. I am the College and Engage Minister here at Shiloh Road. We're just so glad that you're here with us this morning. If this is your first time or if you're new to Shiloh, like Ben said, we would love for you to stick around after our worship. For our class time, we have a welcome class in the gathering just through the Connection Center there. And also, welcome to all of you joining us online. We're so glad that you're with us as well this morning. I have a friend who, whenever I worked at a place called Camp Deer Run, he was the maintenance guy out there, and his name, he would tell you, and you'd never get his real legal name out of him, he would always say, "My name is Scarecrow." Some of you may know who that is, but Scarecrow and I used to run around a bit whenever we were hanging out through the summer, and Scarecrow was a big fan of a few things. He was a big fan of his friends, he was a big fan of Jesus, and he was a really big fan of good food in East Texas. And one of the things that he was the biggest fan of is this little place, little hole-in-the-wall joint, been there for a long time, in Mineola, Texas, called the East Texas Burger Company. You got some, You're like, we might be driving to Mineola for lunch. Okay. But Scarecrow would talk about especially the East Texas Burger Company in this way to somebody who had never heard of it before. He would say, "Hey, have you ever been to East Texas Burger Company?" They say, "No, what's that?" And he would say, "It'll change your life." That's what he would say. He'd say, "It'll change your life." I'm curious, for you, have you ever had a meal, have you ever shared a meal with anyone that changed your life? Or at the very least, was memorable? For me, I think the meal that maybe changed my life more than any happened in May of 2021, as I woke up one morning in Winsboro, Texas, and I drove about 45 miles to Longview, Texas, where Kinsey's parents live, that's my now wife, and I drove there so I could share breakfast with them to ask her dad specifically, but also her mom as well, if I can marry her. And I arrive at their home, and her mom greets me at the door, welcomes me in. She's already got all these things cooking, and it's food for like 30 people. I think she's excited. And she says, "Just wait a minute, Kevin will be in a second. He's finishing up some work over in the office, right?" And so I sit down on one end of the table, and her mom's sitting there. And in walks her dad, wearing a 2011 World Series champion Cardinals shirt. There he is. And for those of you who don't know, that was the year that they beat the Rangers, of which I'm a huge fan. You know, some dads will bring a shotgun. He brought this. I think he knew what I was there for, don't you? I was undeterred, though. I still asked the question. So what about you? Have you ever had a meal that was so memorable that it truly changed your life? Maybe a meal at a wedding. Maybe a special anniversary. Maybe that meal celebrating your kid's graduation. Maybe it was a meal for the very first time when you were off at college and you were eating by yourself. Have you ever shared a meal with somebody for the very last time? And that memory of that person lingers. Or what about the meal, maybe the first meal or maybe the first holiday meal without that loved one there at the table with you? Have you ever had a meal where you just got let go from your job and you're sitting there eating and you're wondering, where is my next meal going to come from? See, we have really memorable, life-changing meals all the time. In John chapter 14, if you want to turn over there this morning, that's where we'll be, continuing this series in the upper room. Jesus is there sharing one of these meals, I have no doubt, for his apostles. As they gather and they're eating this meal, sharing this meal together, and Jesus is telling them all these things, and I have to believe that in the moment, they don't realize that this is going to be one of those meals. They don't fully get it. In this meal, Jesus has stood there, and he's done the unthinkable. As we just sang, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, God in the flesh, he takes the form of a servant, and he gets down and he washes his followers' feet. Have any of you all had your foot washed before by someone? I got to tell you, I don't like it. It feels weird. But imagine Jesus, the Son of God, or at the very least for them, their rabbi, their teacher, their leader. We look around and everybody's like, all right, well, who's going to serve us? And the next thing you know, the leader steps up and does it. You all just, ooh, ouch. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on to tell them that one day as he leaves, that the way that the world will know that they are his followers is because they will love one another. He says, I've set an example for you. Do as I have done for one another. It's in this way, in the way that you love each other, that the world will know that you follow me. And he goes on, he says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not just going to leave you alone. As Gary talked about last week, he says, I'm going to leave you the advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you and to continue the work that I am doing. And it's in this moment of this meal, mind you, sharing a meal, that Jesus stops in verse 25 and he says this, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. What an incredible thing. Then he goes on to say this in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Let me just pause and think about this word peace for a second. I believe for many of us, when we hear the word peace, we think of less people, the better. Would you agree? Peace is away from all of y'all, right? Or away from him, or away from her. Peace in our minds is this distancing ourselves from everyone and everything. But I have to believe that the peace that Jesus is talking about is the peace that you find in the Old Testament. It's this word shalom. Y'all can say that with me. Shalom, right? This word shalom is a word for peace, but it's more specifically this idea that we are wholly united both with God and with others. Think about that for a second. The peace that Jesus is talking about, the peace that he's saying he offers through his Spirit, is one of relationship. You see, the world is full of conflict and chaos and turmoil, fighting and wars constantly. And that's just within our own families. The world is full of stress and anxiety, full of the unknown, full of worry and doubt. And Jesus tells his followers, he says, I don't give like the world gives. What I hear in that is, he's saying, I don't just give you a self-help book. I don't say, all right, buckle down and figure it out. He also doesn't say, all right, let's sit and have a pity party and do nothing. He's not in either of those camps. He's in the camp of, I'm sending my Spirit to you so that you can have peace. And what does that look like? It looks like you're going to be able to remember the things I've taught you. Man, for his followers right there, just think about the things, like John goes on to say at the end of this book, he says, there are not enough books to hold all the things that Jesus did while he was on this earth. And they got to experience them. So for them, it's literally remembering exactly what he told them. But for us, I believe that's a promise for us, but the question is, are we even hearing what Jesus has said? Do we spend time listening to the word, listening and hearing what Jesus has for us? He says the Spirit will help us remember it, but he doesn't stop there. He says the Spirit will also bring us peace. But we have to be so, so careful with this. This is not a transactional agreement. You know, as Gary talked about last week, Jesus says a lot in this time, this meal together with his followers. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you'll do what I say. That can sound a lot like, hey, if you keep my commands, then I'll love you. That's not what Jesus says at all. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. He isn't saying it like it's a business deal, remember? He says the Holy Spirit isn't transactional, he is relational. Remember, this is the upper room, not a boardroom. They're not making deals saying, hey, if you love me and keep my commands, then I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit and he's going to do all these things in your life, right? Like a transaction. He's saying, no, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that you can remember what I've told you, so that you can have peace in order that you can love me and obey me. We get that so mixed up sometimes. We think that it's in our love and obedience that we receive, and that is not true. We love and obey because we have received. And it is only by the Spirit of God dwelling in us that we have these things. Do we think of the gospel as some sort of self-help scheme? Do we ever think of the gospel as if you do this, then this? I have to tell you, if the good news of Jesus that you received is like that, it's not good. That is not the gospel. The gospel is, as we say often here, come follow Jesus and watch how he changes your life. Not change your life and then come follow him. He offers us this peace that surpasses understanding. He goes on in verse 28, you heard me say, I am going away. And I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Let's stop and recognize. He's talking about him going away because this is relational. You know what it feels like when somebody leaves? When that kid goes off to college for the first time. Like my daughter asking me every morning, Daddy, where are you going? I'm going to work, sweetie. Every morning. You know why? Because I'm her dad. And she wants to be with me, thankfully. Yeah. It's a relational thing. It's what the disciples are asking him constantly. Jesus, where are you going? He says, I'm going away, but trust me, this is better for you. He goes on, verse 29, I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He says, he has no hold over me. Let's stop and recognize that Satan has no hold on Jesus. And here's the important part of this. This is exactly what John has been saying since the beginning. In John 1, verse 5, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not or has not overcome it. The coolest part about that for us is as followers of Jesus that are now hidden in Christ with God, Satan has no hold on us either. See, we are not like the rest of the world. We don't stand over here and leverage power, we leverage peace. When the world looks at you and says, you have to dig down deep and fight harder, you need to hold your ground and stand your ground and fight, 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 Jesus looks at you and says, have peace. Have peace. Because it's only in that peace that you're able to love one another. And it's only in loving one another that others will see that you are my disciples. The reason we don't act like the world in times of difficulty and chaos is because we are no longer a part of the world. We have been bought and we have been given the spirit of peace. Remember, Jesus says, I do not give like the rest of the world gives. Through the spirit of peace, we ought to be able to overcome the conflict and the chaos, right? We should be living a much better life. Question for you this morning is that your story? Can you say that your life is one that is marked by peace? Or if we're being honest with ourselves, are our lives a lot more similar to that of the people in the world than we'd like to admit? I have to tell you, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, that's his offer. It's to dwell inside of you through his spirit so that you can have peace, so that you can love and obey him, and the commands he gives are not burdensome. If that's you, please let us know. We'd love to talk with you. But if you are in Christ and you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know what? My life doesn't look like peace. You should have heard the conversation in the car whenever we pulled up this morning, right? There's an interesting idea in Christianity called the cruciform life. And basically, you boil it down, and it's the idea that we live our lives or we shape our lives around the cross of Jesus, laying our lives down in love, sacrificing. An emphasis is on our relationship with God and with others, that the cruciform life is all about our relationship to God and our relationship to other people. And I can't help but think of that as we sit here and we talk about peace. We talk about shalom, to be wholly united with God and with others. John 14 ends this way with Jesus saying this about that prince of the world, Satan. Verse 31, "But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded." He says he comes so that the world may know that Jesus loves the Father and does exactly what the Father commands. All throughout this meal, Jesus has been reminding them over and over again to love him and to keep his commandments. But he has already told them, the Spirit of God will be with you. It's like he's saying, I know that you can't do this on your own. I recognize that you can't love me, that you can't obey me fully on your own, that you need some help. But he says, I'm going to be with you and help you through it. Remember, your love and obedience to Christ is because of his love, not for it. Remember that. That's a hard one for me. I like to earn stuff. I like to earn support. I like to earn those goals that I set for myself. Jesus says, you don't have to earn this. He says, look at my love. Gary's going to talk a lot more about that next week, but he says, look at the way I love you and recognize that it's the Spirit dwelling inside of you that empowers you to peace, to love, and to obedience. And it is because the way that God has loved you, even in your brokenness, even through your faults, in your shortcomings. Francis Chan has this to say about a life lived with the Holy Spirit, and I think it's so fitting because Jesus, right here in verse 31, talks about how he is loving the Father. There's this Father-Son relationship going on. He says, I love the Father and I do what he says. Francis Chan says this. He said, it is then we can serve God as a beloved child rather than a stressed out, guilt-ridden slave. Wow. Do you feel like a beloved child most days? Or do you feel stressed out? For some of you, did walking through these doors this morning kind of stress you out a little bit? Because it's been a rough week. It's been a rough morning even, or a rough weekend. Jesus looks at us, he looks at his followers in the context of this meal, and he says, I don't give to you like the world gives. I offer you peace. Peace so that you can do the things that the world can't do. Love him. Obey him. Here's the crazy part. This, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, is how we continue the work of Christ in the world. We continue the work of bringing shalom, being wholly united with God and with others, to the rest of the world. It's an incredible work that Jesus started of restoring all things. That's what Scripture says, right? Restoring all things. What's that leave out? Nothing. That means your life, but it also means the life of the person next to you when you're going about your day to day. That seems insurmountable, especially if you spend a lot of time watching the news, right? That seems impossible when you look at the chaos and the stress and anxiety of this world. But Jesus says, you're going to continue this work. And it's good that he leaves and he sends the helper, because it's only by the helper, the Holy Spirit, that you can do it. It's only by the Spirit dwelling in you that you have not only just peace, but you have what Jesus says is his peace. That peace that surpasses understanding. And let's not forget, as we, as a church family here at Shiloh Road, look out to the world around us, as we consider those things about how we have a vision to engage our neighbors, and we stress and we worry because, let's face it, if our lives are messy, those outside of Christ certainly are. Let's not forget that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in you. The same Spirit of God, which, if you're here this morning, I assume many of us here believe that Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit, Jesus says, now lives in you. You really think that that Spirit who can do that can't bring more peace into your life? You really think that God looks at the headlines of today and is worried? Not at all. Not only is he not surprised, but he's fully aware of what he's doing. I would dare say that God may be looking at many of us when we get worried, and I know it's a lot when you see things. My goodness, there's a whole mess out there on top of your own stuff. But I believe that God looks at us living with the Spirit of God in us, and he's wondering, he's saying, okay, what are you doing about it? Not like go change the government or go change what's going on in Washington or across the seas. That's not your business. Your business is right here. Who's in front of you? Who's right next to you? Who's that family member, that spouse, that kid in your life that God has entrusted to you? How can I love them better? How can I make sure that the peace that God has offered me is present in their life? That's how we change the world, y'all. One relationship, one meal, one moment of peace amidst the turmoil and the chaos. Question is, are we willing to do it? Are we willing to let the Spirit of God that lives in us bring us to a love and obedience in him? If you would, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the ways that you love us. God, we thank you for your Spirit that dwells in us. Father, that you offer such peace and a remembrance of the things that you have taught. Father, we ask that you help us to love and to obey you more fully each day, knowing that it is because of the way that you have loved us and not for your love. And God, help us to not be like the world. Father, I ask that you help us to leverage peace, not power. Father, help us in this moment, this day, to see Jesus, to see him fully, to know that same Spirit that raised him from the dead now lives in us and empowers us to go live for you this day and any day you bless us with, Lord. God, thank you so much that we get to gather here. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you most of all for Jesus and your Holy Spirit. It's through Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.